No, there's more. One of them's at Hogwarts.
What? You saw it?
I saw the castle and Rowena Ravenclaw. It must have something to do with her. We have to go there now.
What? We can't do that. We've got to plan. We've got to figure it out.
Hermione, when have any of our plans ever actually worked? We plan, we get there, all hell breaks loose.
And that's a scene from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2. And I have a feeling all hell breaks loose in this final installment of the series, too. Welcome to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. Today on the show, we're talking about movies. And we'll start with Harry Potter, which shattered box office records last weekend. But there are other movies out in theaters this weekend as well. We'll get to those, too. In the studio with me is the other paper film critic, George Wolfe. Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much.
And freelance writer and film critic, Melissa Starker, welcome.
Thank you.
And was the eighth Harry Potter movie everything you dreamed it would be, George?
Yeah, I thought it was. I didn't really dream, to be, you know, honest about it. I was not a big Harry Potter fan, you know, so much so that one of those that maybe liked it before I even saw it. But it blew me away. I loved it. I've seen it twice now. And I think it's great in every way. And for the Harry Potter fans and maybe the casual Harry Potter fans, yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
And Melissa?
I would totally agree with George also in the sentiment. It's like I'm not, you know, a huge Harry Potter fan, but the last film does a really great job of walking that line of being like a quality production that anybody can walk into while also really satisfying what fans are looking for. It was, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Wait, can you really walk into it if you haven't seen any, or at least Part One, can you?
It's a little tough. I mean, okay. You know, at this point, it's such a big part of the pop cultural lexicon that I think that most people at least have a sense of the whole Hogwarts story. But I do really like, I'm glad that you played that clip because that's probably one of my favorite moments in the film because it's this nice self-referential moment, which is not something you normally find in those movies.
They acknowledge that everything is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think it was one of the best 3D movies I've seen. I
mean, oh, that's right.
When you 3D. See so many movies, sometimes we get jaded about the 3D and it can be a gimmick. But I thought the visuals, the effects, especially effects are great, and then added with the 3D was just fantastic.
Was this the first one they
yes.
did?
Yeah, they were going to try the last one, and mm-hmm. it didn't work out, and they went for this one, and boy, I loved it in 3D.
And actually, that's a really kind of cool point about the series is that, you know, the previous film, it was really right in the crazy heady rush of 3D is going to save Hollywood, and they could have done it, but they didn't want to slapdash it. They didn't want to do a quick and dirty job, so they waited till this one.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about the movies today. Did you see the final chapter of Harry Potter? Or maybe you've seen it twice already. Call and tell us your thoughts and get those calls in because we are going to move on to a few other movies that are in the theaters. 614-292-8513 or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. Tell us what you thought of Harry Potter. Was it a good end to the series? For movie theaters, I mean, a series like this, eight movies over such a long period of time, made so much money. Is our movie theater owner sitting back thinking, oh no, it's over?
Yeah, probably, yeah, as the money for this one dwindles, which I don't know when that is going to be, but yeah, it's been such a successful franchise that I'd assume they are not going to be too happy that it won't be coming back.
And what was I was thinking about last weekend at the box office. Basically, the only movies that opened, it was Harry Potter versus Winnie the Pooh. So was everyone afraid to go up against Harry Potter except for Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, sometimes that can happen if you want to program a movie. I think a few years ago, the movie Mamma Mia went up against some summer blockbuster, and they thought, okay, a completely different audience is going to be looking for something, and it works. This time, I don't think Winnie came out too well.
But, is Winnie the Pooh? Is
I didn't
okay?
see it.
Oh,
I
didn't
the
see it.
Reviews have been really solid, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was talking about the box office, but yeah.
And so, coming out this weekend, do you think that Captain America, which is the big blockbuster for this weekend, can it surpass Harry Potter? Because I would think that most people who are seeing Harry Potter have already seen it in this past week, or is everyone going to go see it a second time?
There's a good chance for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
is Harry Potter a movie you want to see twice or three times?
I would think so. I mean, obviously George saw it twice already, and
you did.
Yeah, and like you said, you're not the hugest fan of the series, but yeah, I mean, especially because it's the last one, you know, people wanting to return to that, especially if they've had a real investment in the whole series, definitely makes some sense.
And the other thing that makes it easier to see a second time, they shaved about at least a half an hour off the running times of all the other movies. Most of them have run about 2 hours and 40 minutes. This one is just barely over 2 hours. And boy, it feels so much more, you know, like it moves along and things are happening and it doesn't drag. And to seeing it twice, as I've already done, it doesn't seem like, oh, it's just another 2.5 hour movie. It really moves. And that taking off that 30 minutes did wonders.
Great, great. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also leave a message on the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. And the movie that we just mentioned that is opening this weekend, Captain America. In this scene, Steve Rogers, who is played by Chris Evans, is the smallest and shortest soldier in his unit, but he sacrifices his life for those around him.
When you brought a 90-pound asthmatic onto my army base, I let it slide. I thought, what the hell? Maybe it'd be useful to you, like a gerbil. Hodge passed every test we gave him. He's big, he's fast, he obeys orders, he's a soldier.
He's a bully.
You don't win wars with niceness, Doctor. You win wars with guts.
Grenade! Oh,
get away! Get back!
Is this a test?
He's still skinny.
So Captain America, what did you think of the movie?
It was pretty good. It's funny. It's really clear the two camps that the superhero movies are falling into now. It's, ever since the new Batman started, it's dark. If you've seen the trailer for the new reboot of Spider-Man, it's dark. This is not. This is so light. It's so rah-rah. It's so red, white, and blue. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But that's the way they're taking it. Kind of like Thor was. This is even more bright than Thor was. Thor had maybe a little bit of a darker side with the villains and all. But this is just rah, rah, go get them. Hey, let's cheer. And it's fun. It's not a great movie, but it's fine. It's entertaining. I don't think it's going to knock down Harry Potter off the box office. But a lot of people like it, the superhero fans. I know a lot of superhero fans are geeked about it. It's fun. The CGI is kind of cool when he's a 90-pound asthmatic, like you heard there. If you saw Benjamin Button, it's kind of the same thing. They take the actor's head and put it on a CGI body.
Okay.
It's not his, obviously. Right. And then, of course, he comes out as Mr. Buff Guy, and the ladies get a little beefcake shot, and, you know. And it's fun. Tommy Lee Jones
is some great
fun.
Yeah, I think I've seen that shot's been on in all the trailers and commercials for some reason. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And you heard Tommy Lee Jones there. He does some great comic relief, and it's just it's a big crowd pleaser. I think might be one that people applaud, you know, at the end just because it's so, you know, red, white, and blue, and a lot of people are going to really take to that right now. So it's fun. It's fine.
So do we have enough superhero movies? How many more can there possibly be?
With Green Lantern, I think they were scraping the barrel there, but I think that's gone. But I don't know. They'll keep mining. They're working up to the Avengers, right?
Right, right. And I mean, you know, the fact that there's that that strong emotional connection with so many people having read comic books as kids, and that especially once you get into the classic characters, there's such a deep backstory. There's always some sort of dramatic element in how they became a superhero and how their past fuels what they do. You know, you look at Batman. That's a classic example. But I think that you know, I know I want to see it, and I'm not the hugest fan of comics, but my husband is a comic geek, and he is definitely stoked about it. And he also appreciates the fact that they kept it in the time period of the original comic, which is the World War II era, that definitely feeds into the whole rah-rah America thing. But it you know, it makes sense.
Do they do well with the World War II aspect?
Yeah, they do. Okay. And I agree. That was a great move to keep it there. Similarly, as the last X-Men movie started, you know, and back in the past, which how that worked very well as well. This one does, and it all feeds into it because it's World War II, and you've got the Nazis over here, and that kind of bleeds into how he becomes Captain America. It starts out as a German scientist working on this serum or whatever. But yeah, it works very well to keep it in the World War II and adds to the whole nostalgia. And then there's the romance, and it's old type of 40s romance type of thing, and the old hairstyles and the costumes. Yeah, it works.
So 40s scenery, but 2011
effects, special effects.
Yeah, it's the 3D, not as good as Harry Potter, but it's fine, you know, and it's some of the better, I guess, and toward the better scale of 3D and the rousing music and the red, white, and blue. Yeah, it's like I say, it's very going to be very crowd pleasing, I think.
And Melissa, another option if you don't want to see Captain America, a movie that opens this weekend, is Justin Timberlake's new movie Friends with Benefits. What did you think of this one?
Well, I was surprised. This one has a couple of things going against it. First off, it's the second movie in a year to deal with a very similar subject,
haven't I seen this movie before?
Yes, actually, there's a really fun piece in this week's Alive that finds 20 different movies with the same plot, or, you know, 20 different pairs of movies with the same plot. But yes, the idea can friends just have a sexual relationship without it getting all emotional and romantic and icky. And
especially with one of those friends is Justin Timberlake.
And Justin Timberlake, and Mila Kunis, you know, mm-hmm. who's not hard on the eyes. But the fact that it's the second one that would work against it. Actually, it's a lot better than the first one that came out, No Strings Attached, with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman. It's directed and co-written by Will Gluck, who's this guy who made Easy A, which came out last year. And it was a really smart, self-referential high school romantic comedy that, you know, it even included references and clips of some of your favorite high school movies, John Hughes, Say Anything, things like that. And this definitely does that as well. It starts from a point of romantic comedies feed us a line. And that's a bad thing, and we hate that. And so it really tries to, in the same way that Scream did for the horror genre, it really tries to reinvent through self-reference. And it's actually pretty effective. Now, there's a little bit of wanting your cake and eating it too, of you know, wanting to parody those, but also wanting to feed into them a little bit when it makes sense for the story. But it's really a funny film, and it's got a great cast. Woody Harrelson, Patricia Clarkson are in it as well. And I really enjoyed it. I have to say, I think people would get a kick out of it. Although I will say that if you're not into raunch, it is very it's definitely explicit in its language and stuff like that.
You seem a little surprised that you enjoyed it. Like hesitating, like, oh, I liked it. Why?
You know, I try not to go in with any expectations, good or bad, but, you know.
Okay, so for the action people, you can go see Captain America or Harry Potter a second time, and then you can also go see Friends with Benefits. Mm-hmm. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich, and we'll discuss more of the summer movie season in just a moment. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org.
So Rupert Murdoch was dragged before Parliament, forced to endure hours of questioning about his unscrupulous and unethical business practices, and he was hit by a pie. But he also got inspiration for a new Fox drama, Tiger Wife versus the Liberal Pie Bakers. We stand ready to defend you from all attacks on this week's News Quiz from NPR.
Saturday morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. Become an 89.7 NPR News sustaining member. No more checks to write, and your member card will never expire. For as little as $5 per month, you'll be supporting great programs. Visit wosu.org/sustainer.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Central Ohio Trauma System, working with community partners to make Central Ohio a safer place to live. Details about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the Central Ohio Trauma System are at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
The This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurovich, and with me for our movie discussion is film critic Melissa Starker and the other paper film critic George Wolfe. What movies do you want to recommend? Or you can ask our guests your thoughts on their thoughts on what's in the theaters right now. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, there's a movie that surprised me because it's actually made a lot of money, Horrible Bosses. And in this scene, the three main characters, they contact a contract killer.
I still feel like we should have got a cheese plate or something for this guy just to make this.
2020 hindsight.
Is that him?
Oh. He looks like James Bond.
He really does, dude. I bet he carries one of those guns that you screw together.
Yes.
Those are like the coolest guns they make, man.
It's
so dangerous. What if that is an undercover cop?
Oh, come on.
Better yet, what if it's a real thing? He charges so much money, we can't afford it, he kills us.
He kills us. Hold on.
That's a thing?
Could that happen?
Gotta let him in now.
Okay, how's my hair?
What do you mean, how's your hair?
It doesn't matter. Okay, let's do this.
I was really surprised to see a lot of critics like this movie, and it's doing well, making a lot of money. What did you think?
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah,
it was, you know, not quite for me to Bridesmaids, which is still the high watermark for this year, but it was darn funny and continuing the raunchy comedy the movies that have come out. It's kind of raunchy too, but it's really funny. I just like Jason Bateman. I think he's kind of underappreciated sometimes. He's fun. The three of them together are funny. It's funny.
So it's called Horrible Bosses. Melissa, what did you think?
You stole my line.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm exactly the same way. It's like, I thought it was funny. It definitely had some really strong moments. I like Jason Bateman as well. I really like Charlie Day a lot. He seems to be getting some fun film work after It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. But Bridesmaids really is kind of the bar that everything else is trying to knock over.
And Bridesmaids is still making some money. I was looking at the box office results. I mean, it's been out for a while, but it's still it's still within the top 10. Also, something that's still up there that's doing really well, Midnight in Paris. And that's still in theaters. It's been around
great.
For a while.
Yeah. I'm so glad to see that. It's a great movie.
The Woody Allen movie. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, that one. And I'm not the biggest Woody Allen fan. He certainly had some good films, had some misses as well. But this is just, it's really charming. It takes Owen Wilson plays the Woody Allen character. Woody Allen's not in this one, and he gets transported back. He's over in Paris, and he gets transported back to 1920s Paris, and he gets to hang out with his heroes, like Ernest Hemingway, and I think an actor named Corey Stoll plays Ernest Hemingway, and he's a riot. Kathy Bates plays Gertrude Stein, and he interacts with all these historical characters, and it's funny, and it's charming, and it's probably my favorite Woody Allen movie ever, and I'm glad it's making so much money.
Wow. You want to add anything, Melissa?
Well, just that I am a really big Woody Allen fan, so I've definitely found some of his films recently deeply disappointing. But this one is just really fun, and one of the things I really like about it is it kind of harkens back to some of his old short fiction. In its subject matter and its tone, it's just got that kind of crazy fantasy element to it that's just absurd. And you know, there's just some great toss-off lines that if you know anything at all about the artists and writers of 1920s Paris, are just like, you know, there's these great in-jokes. So I really enjoyed it.
614-292-8513 to join the summer movie discussion. And Sarah from Worthington, what is your question?
Hi, yeah. I was just wondering if either of you guys had seen Winnie the Pooh and what you thought of it for the little kids. And I'll hang up and take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Winnie the Pooh was, it was number 6 in the box office last week behind Cars 2. And so, I mean, it made a decent amount of money for being out for 1 week. Neither of you saw it, though.
I'm sorry. No.
We mentioned that a little bit earlier, Sarah. But
I will say that, the reviews that I've seen of it are definitely that it's very sweet and it's not insulting to kids or to the legacy of Winnie the Pooh. And I know that the images I've seen from the animation look really nice.
Well, and they seem to keep it. It's not that they tried to make it new and improved and like modern Winnie the Pooh. It looks like what I remember from whenever I was really little.
So. Right, exactly. You get those classic characters that they'll put into new animation, and they all have that like unnatural, you know, almost airbrushed sheen to them that can be a little bit off-putting. But yeah, it looks really pretty.
And do you know the ages? I mean, I think you can take like a 2 or 3 year old to see this if they'll sit in the movie theater, right?
Yeah, I think this is appropriate for a really young audience.
Because a friend of mine thinks that this movie was better for her young son than Cars 2, because Cars 2 is a little too intense. He's 3. Do you think?
I have to admit, I have not seen Cars 2. Right. I'm too huge of a Pixar fan, and I was not hearing very good reviews about it. And I decided that I would not shatter my illusions for Pixar's wonderfulness. So,
okay, well, let's talk about a movie that you did love then. We'll talk about Beginners, which is now playing at the Drexel. And here's a portion of the trailer.
My parents got married in 1955. They had a child, and they stayed married for 44 years until my mother died. 6 months later, my father told me he was gay.
I'm gay.
Hello?
Oliver?
Yeah?
They had some wonderfully loud music in the club tonight. What kind of music's that?
Probably house music.
House music. Okay. House music.
And what you can't see because it's radio is that he's writing down house music so he remembers what it's called. So Beginners, a surprise because it's doing well. People like it.
That makes me so happy. I know actually George and I both saw it last year at the Toronto Film Festival.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
We've been you know, just kind of quietly since September thinking about how awesome this movie is and how much we'd like to share it with people. And tell people about it. And basically that kind of gives you a little bit of the story behind it, that it kind of takes place in 3 different time periods with Ewan McGregor is an illustrator and designer. Christopher Plummer is his father, who shortly after the death of his wife of 45 years announces that he's gay. And it goes through kind of different periods during that time and shortly after it. And it's actually based on Mike Mills' own family experiences. Something similar happened in his family. And, you know, I'm sure that definitely feeds into what's so genuine and touching about it. And it has great respect for all of its characters. It's an extraordinary cast. It's got some really interesting ways of getting you into these different time periods through music and images that are just kind of flashing on screen. And aside from being really touching and sweet, it's also really funny and intelligent. And I just honestly, it may be my favorite movie that I've seen this year so far.
And you didn't mention the dog.
Oh, my God. How could I not mention the dog? The dog, forget other dog actors. This dog is amazing. And it's so funny. The first couple of scenes that he's in, just the way that he responds to Ewan McGregor's character and follows him around, just kind of watching him very intently, it's like the audience just immediately starts cracking up. And there's this really strange connection that you have to the dog, which actually I should also mention has subtitles so that he and Ewan McGregor can communicate.
A dog with subtitles. George, what did you think of Beginners?
I loved it too. And that was actually one of the things that put it over for me, because normally if you bring in a talking dog, it's just death, you know. But he pulls it off so well. The dog is great. They're funny. And actually, if I remember, when we saw it at the Toronto Film Festival, Mike Mills came on stage and announced at the time last year he did not even have a distributor for the movie. And we were all, oh, man, that would be a crime if this does not get distributed. So, yeah, I agree. I was so glad not only that it's out there, but it's making money because it's really, really good.
Yeah, and it's at the Drexel right now, and it was scheduled to not to be done, but they've extended it, I believe.
Right, yeah.
So, and Christopher, well, all the performances, but Christopher Plummer is fantastic, as he almost always is.
Yeah, I know. It's a little early to talk Oscar nominations, but that would be a great one to see.
Yeah.
All right. So Beginners now playing at the Drexel. And another movie that opens next Friday, July 29th, is something that intrigues me, and I think that you're looking forward to it, George.
For the same reason, just out of curiosity.
Yeah. So it's Cowboys and Aliens, and in this scene, Harrison Ford's character tells Daniel Craig's character that they have to track down a wounded alien.
Boss! Went this way!
I don't know what it is, but it's bleeding.
That's the same direction those machines went with our kin. He's gonna be able to track it in the dark.
Round up the horses, get some supplies. We'll set off first light.
Sir,
You. You're going with us. I need that weapon. It's the only thing that counts. I figure you owe me.
I don't see it that way.
All right, so Harrison Ford is a cowboy, and Daniel Craig is something. So it is combining Indiana Jones and James Bond. What do you think?
It kind of reminds me of back when they announced they were going to reboot and go back and do a prequel to the Star Trek. I thought to myself, well, that's an awful idea. And I was so wrong because it was a great movie. This just seems like, really? They're going to pull this? Cowboys and aliens? Okay, so it's almost like I want to see this to see if they pull it off, how they do it. And actually, I've heard from a couple of people that have seen it, some distributors, some bookers, that have said it's pretty good. They liked it anyway. And it was directed by Jon Favreau, who did Iron Man. So he's got a little bit of cred there. But I'm a little skeptical, but ready to be convinced, I guess.
Melissa, what do you think?
I would say the same thing. I really like Jon Favreau as a director. He's a very solid, crowd-pleasing action kind of guy. I mean, he's fun as an actor, too, but you know, you look at Iron Man, you look at Zathura, he's done some good work, and so he usually keeps things nice and tight, moving along steadily, not too ridiculously dumb action, that kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, so when I was pulling the clip for that and Harrison Ford was talking about losing his kin, I had a hard time not cringing a little bit, but that was the clip that was offered, so there, you know. There,
Right, there's the curiosity there. Is this going to work, or is this just going to be a train wreck, which when I first saw some of the trailers, I thought, it is going to be, but hey, I'm, like I said, ready to be wrong.
I would hope that Harrison Ford maybe wouldn't sign on if it was a train wreck, right?
Yeah, you would think that too, so yeah.
Okay.
They've also got Sam Rockwell in the supporting cast, and he's usually a pretty reliable guy.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Cowboys and Aliens and opens next weekend. 614-292-8513. We have about 6 or 7 more minutes to talk about the movie, so get your call in, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Another movie that opens next weekend, Steve Carell's new movie, Crazy Stupid Love. I think it looks pretty good. Melissa, what do you think?
I agree. You know, I mean, the setup doesn't really jump out at you as being anything original, that this Steve Carell's character's wife ends up separating from him, and then he goes on to get relationship tips from, you know, a real lady killer who's played by Ryan Gosling. But the thing that really intrigues me about this is that it's directed by the same team of filmmakers who made I Love You, Philip Morris, and also wrote Bad Santa. Mm-hmm. So they, those are two really good films. Yeah. Now, they are very profane, definitely not for everybody, but they're something really fresh about what they've done so far, and so that definitely intrigues me. Plus, you know, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone and Steve Carell and Julianne Moore, you really can't go wrong with that group.
George, what do you
think? Yeah, agree with all that, the filmmakers and the cast. And the couple of lines that I've seen in the trailers are funny. You know, Julianne Moore's line about going to see Twilight by herself, you know, that's funny. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's something that, with all the people involved, I'm expecting good things. So definitely looking forward to that one.
Maybe for some people who miss seeing Steve Carell since he's not on The Office anymore.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
All right, so that's Crazy Stupid Love and also opens next weekend against Cowboys and Aliens. And there's a movie coming out later this summer, Melissa, that you mentioned to me, and I hadn't even heard of it, but whenever I was looking for clips, I was intrigued. It's called The Trip, and in this scene, Steve and Rob are battling over who does the best Michael Caine impersonation.
Michael Caine's voice now in the Batman movies added Harry Brown. I can't go fast because Michael Caine talks very, very slowly.
Right, this is how Michael Caine speaks. Michael Caine speaks to his nose like that. He gets very, very specific. It's very like that. When he gets loudly, it gets very loud indeed. It gets very specific. It's not quite nasal enough the way you're doing it, all right? You're not doing it the way he speaks. You're not doing it with the kind of... And you don't do the broken voice when he gets very emotional. When he gets very emotional indeed. She was only 16 years old.
She was only 16. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
That's Michael Caine.
Oh, man. That's funny.
So what is this movie about?
Well, I should say that clip itself actually went viral a few months ago while the movie itself was still on the festival circuit. And that's actually where I saw it. I saw it at a festival in Boston. And basically, Steve Coogan plays himself. It's a film directed by Michael Winterbottom, who he's worked with before in a couple other films like 24-Hour Party People. And he is hired to do a news piece on all of these different high-end spas, hotels, and their food. And he's got to go on a road trip for it. And he calls up a friend of his, Rob Brydon, playing himself, or variations of themselves, I should say, and basically lets him know that, you know, he's inviting him, but he wasn't the first one that he asked. And that sort of back and forth between them, where it's friendly but it's tense, and there's some jealousy on both sides. There's not a whole lot of plot driving it. It's really just more about spending time with these really interesting guys who do some amazing impersonations, not just Michael Caine. And it's just really a fun, nice movie to, you know, go enjoy some air conditioning and see. And it's, you know, it's clever, but you don't have to put a whole heck of a lot of thought into it. It's just really fun. And I really like the fact that Steve Coogan has absolutely no qualms about playing himself as pretty much a total jerk. And this is not the first time he's done it. So,
George, have you seen this?
I have not, but I could listen to that for another 20 minutes. that was funny.
All right. So The Trip, it's scheduled right now to open in August at the Drexel. So you'll have to just keep track of that and see when it's coming out exactly.
Yeah, August 5th at this point.
All right. And we have a few more minutes. So what else is coming out this summer that you're looking forward to, George?
Boy, for the rest of the summer, I still counts as summer. Again, on the curiosity angle, the reboot of Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, going back to how it all began, how the apes got in power in the first place, I believe comes out August the 5th. You know, I've seen some clips. I saw a 15-minute little piece on it on HBO the other night, and how they did it, how they, you know, did the apes this time with CGI and all that, and stop motion, whatever they call that. So it looks interesting. I don't know whether they're going to pull it off or not. But again, from the curiosity angle and remembering the the Roddy McDowell Planet of the Apes of when I was a kid, interested in it. But don't know if they're going to pull it off or not.
So that comes out in August? Is that
August
right?
5th, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Melissa, what's something that you're looking forward to?
Okay. I have to mention, too, just because there's one that kind of fits into the Planet of the Apes thing. There's this documentary called Project NIMH that just started making its way to theaters around the country.
Yeah. Fresh Air did an interview about it yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. And it's based on the story of a chimpanzee that, as part of a science experiment, was raised as a human, basically. And to me, that would make the ultimate double bill. The Planet of the Apes movie and Project NIMH. It's kind of tragic, but it's very moving. It's really informative, and it really sucks you in. And then there's this other movie actually opening at the end of August called The Debt, which is directed by John Madden, who did Shakespeare in Love. It's got a really good cast. It's got Helen Mirren and Tom Wilkinson, and it's sort of a then and now situation about these Mossad agents who in the 60s killed a Nazi war criminal, and then that story, which has made them national heroes, comes back to haunt them in the present day.
Mm. Okay. Well, so a lot of movies to look forward to in August. So thank you very much. And that's about all the time we have for the movie segment. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. And I'm Amy Jurevich. Thank you to the other paper film critic, George Wolfe. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And also thanks to film critic and freelance writer Melissa Starker. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And when we return, we're going to talk about what's new at the Ohio State Fair. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News.
If the only kind of ants you encounter are the ones that might invade your picnic, consider yourself lucky. On the next Fresh Air, explorer and biologist Mark Moffat tells us about the army ants, which swarm and overwhelm prey many, many times their size.
Their capacity for destruction is immense. That's why you do not tie up your cattle in Africa.
Join us.
Today at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Get caught up with local and national news every Friday night on WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record, continuing with the McLaughlin Group, and then Need to Know. Spend your Friday night with WOSU-TV beginning at 8.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Foundation, celebrating our nationally ranked businesses and nonprofit leaders, making our community stronger. With donors and funds in 33 Ohio counties, the Columbus Foundation, where your philanthropy and your community come together.
This week in This American Life, companies that buy up patents, hoard them, and then threaten little guys with lawsuits.
It's quite reminiscent of scenes you see in movies when the mafia comes to visit your butcher shop. And they say to you, hey, it would be a real shame if somebody else came and sued you. Tell you what, pay us an exorbitant membership fee. We'll keep you protected.
Patents destroy innovation. This week.
Saturday afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News.
And that's Don't Stop Believin' by Journey, which is just one of the many bands playing at this year's Ohio State Fair. You can see Journey on August 5th and the 158th Ohio State Fair, which opens this Wednesday, is the topic for this segment of All Sides Weekend here on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurovich. Joining me in the studio to tell us what's new at the fair is Public Relations and Marketing Director Alicia Notestone. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also, Elaine Moscato, she is the Creative Arts Director. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Elaine, let's start with you. Tell me what it means to be the Creative Arts Director at the fair, because when you think of a fair, you think of farm animals, you think of fried food. What about the creative arts?
Well, I've always been interested in the creative arts and have been an exhibitor for the past 25 years in the Creative Arts Building. And it's like everything's going to be so exciting and new, and we have such wonderful new opportunities for youth and different things, and I just can't wait to make it all happen.
So tell me what some of the creative arts areas are. What is a creative art?
Creative arts can be baked items, culinary items, crafts, needle arts, cake decorating, just anything that you can do in the craft and baking world.
And you have competitions too.
Yes.
Did I read that there's an Iron Chef competition? Is that right?
We have a new competition this year that's called the Blue Ribbon Culinary Challenge, and it's going to be an Iron Chef type idea where the people who are entering do not have a clue what we're having as our food, and they're going to come and they're going to create their dishes for our judges on the spot with that, you know, in an hour. And it's going to be very exciting and very new type of competition. We have another live cooking competition there. It's called Breakfast for Two, and it's the first live competition that we've had cooking culinary arts in there with your judging going on while you're cooking. But I'm going to try to get a lot of new ones like that, so the live cooking and the live crafting can all be taking place and the judges can watch. So it's very exciting.
Now, is the Iron Chef competition and the breakfast competition, is that something that people, it's at a particular day and time and people can come watch?
Yes. Every day of the fair, we have a special day kind of competition where we have the Culinary Challenge, which is called the Blue Ribbon Culinary Challenge, and we have other brand name food items like Pillsbury and Fleshman's, King Arthur Flour, and each of those companies have requested that we have special rules and people can make their items and bring them in for our live judging competition.
Great, great. And this is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about the Ohio State Fair, which is July 27th through August 7th, so just around the corner. Call in and tell us your favorite thing about the fair, or call in with a good Ohio State Fair memory. 614-292-8513, or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. You can also make a comment on the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. And Alicia, the big topic for the fair this year has been allowing alcohol sales at the fair. So what kind of products are going to be available?
We're actually having a very wide variety of products. In our Taste of Ohio Cafe, which is home to Ohio's agricultural commodities, is where wine will be served only. And in addition to having a different featured wine each day with a Meet the Winemaker from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., there will be approximately 13 different Ohio wine varieties available on any different day. So there's ice wine. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but Ohio is one of the only places you can make it where the grapes are frozen on the vine before they're pressed and made into wine.
Okay, so you're having a focus on local wineries and like Ohio made, right?
Right, exactly. And okay. In our WCOL Celeste Center, where the concerts are held, beer will be served in addition to wine. And so we have a few different local breweries that we're working with, as well as some other national breweries that do have distributors and breweries here in Ohio. So we have actually 10 different types of beer that will be served in the Celeste Center, all Ohio products.
Are there restrictions on the times that the products are sold, or is it anytime?
Yes, there are restrictions on the times that these will be sold. Most of the concerts are in the evening, and there will be a cutoff prior to the end of the concert each night.
Okay, so I've heard a lot of excitement about having, you know, beer and wine for the first time at the fair. Is it something that you, as someone who's a fair organizer, that you're excited about because of the, you're getting attention for it, but also you're like, what's going to happen now?
Right. It is very exciting. And the fact that we've kind of focused on the Ohio agricultural products and making it an opportunity for Ohio businesses to get their products out there, you know, some smaller breweries or wineries who may not have the opportunity to get their products out in front of such a large audience. We have over 800,000 visitors a year. We're really excited about helping that and promoting Ohio businesses.
So let's talk about some food that can go along with this beer and wine. You have a new food this year, which I'm not even sure. Fried Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Tell me about fried Kool-Aid.
It is a craze that is absolutely sweeping the nation. Fried Kool-Aid is actually a batter that's made from flour and Kool-Aid mix. So it's going to be cherry Kool-Aid. And they take a little scoop and deep fry it. So it somewhat resembles a hush puppy or a donut hole. And they're served a few in a serving. Haven't tried it yet, though.
Okay. I'm speechless at the idea of the fried Kool-Aid, as I am about another new food. It's the Krispy Kreme burger, which is a burger between two donuts.
Exactly. You can just get rid of that bun and have some sweet donuts instead, and you can get your burger with your favorite toppings, whether that's, bacon, lettuce, tomato, onion, mustard, ketchup, cheese, all of that on donuts.
Wow. Okay. And then you can add a beer or have some wine with it, too.
You can
get a Krispy Kreme burger and a glass of wine. It'll be very fancy. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about the Ohio State Fair. 614-292-8513. Maybe give us a call and tell us your favorite fair food or something that you look forward to each year with the Ohio State Fair. And Elaine, you've been with the fair for a long time, more than 20 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you must love it. What's your favorite thing about just the idea of the Ohio State Fair?
Well, I love the crafting competitions. I love the getting our, you know, your fair friends and going and meeting with them at the different judgings where you get to talk to them where you haven't pretty much seen them for a whole year and just new exciting things that they've been up to and meeting other competitors and that kind of stuff. The cooking contests, I like the live cooking contests. That's why I'm going to add a few of those in because you get to cook right in front of your judges and then the food's nice and hot and you don't have to worry about the temperature and stuff. So it's really good like that. We have some really cool new ideas and activities going on as well. We have a new carver, a chocolate carver, who is taking 500 pounds of chocolate, and she is carving a mama pig with piglets, and it's going to be on display in our building this year, and it's going to be very exciting. A lot of people have been talking about it, and I get to see it on Sunday all completed. It's going to be put into our building or Monday morning, so it's going to be ready for everybody to come and see. And we have two more new really cool things where every day at 2 o'clock, we're going to have a kids craft. Different people who do demonstrations in our building are going to come in, and they do demonstrations regularly. But from 2 to 3 o'clock every day, different ones are going to go to an area where we're going to have kids, because the kids are our craft future. We don't want to ignore them. We want to teach them the craft so they can continue making them.
Great. So, Alicia, the chocolate pigs, that sounds exciting. Does it go right along with the butter cow?
Right. It will rival the butter cow. And luckily, the DeSalle Creative Arts Center is air conditioned. So yes, we should not have any melting piglets this year.
We're hoping for that. Hoping for the air conditioning to stay holding tight.
614-292-8513. And Ryan in Columbus, what's your favorite thing about the fair?
The Ohio Youth Choir.
What do you like about the choir?
I love to hear them sing.
Okay, great. And Alicia, can you tell us a little bit about the Ohio State Fair Choir?
Right. The All-Ohio State Fair Youth Choir has been around since the 1960s, and it's a wonderful fair tradition. 200 students from across the state are selected from various high schools to be a part of this choir, so it's a huge honor. They actually just moved into the grounds last night, and they're starting to learn their songs so they can start performing next week.
And they're going to be practicing in our building every day at 12:30 because of the air conditioning.
Yes, let's talk about the air conditioning. Conditioning for a minute. So it is really hot this week. So hopefully maybe next week for the fair it won't be quite as hot. What worries do you have whenever you're planning the fair and you're thinking about it and you hear a heat index of 110? Does that just, you're just, oh no, we need more water?
Water is always a good thing, but we do have a large number of air-conditioned buildings, and of course our Natural Resources Park has a wide variety of trees and is a very nice shady area to relax. And in addition to that, we do have first aid on hand, and we really hope that people are able to keep cool on the grounds. There are so many air-conditioned buildings and great opportunities to just kind of come in, cool off, take a look at the displays, maybe see some of our silly competitions like the decorated thrones, toilet decorating competition, or the Brillo pad art, and the duct tape dresses that will all be on display in the DeSalle Creative Arts Center.
Yes. Yeah, tell me about this duct tape competition.
Well, the duct tape competition started a couple years ago with floats, where the Ohio-made company in Avon, Ohio, who produces the Duck brand duct tape, decided that they wanted to, be a sponsor. So they give each person who wants to create something duct tape, rolls of duct tape for free, just to create their things. We started with floats, and we have floats in different age brackets for the competition. And this year we've added style show. Style show is going to be on the 27th, and the people who are entering that contest are to create an outfit, a prom attire, or a regular outfit out of duct tape. And I've seen a couple of them. They're pretty interesting. I can't wait to see the style show. And then they're going to go up on our stage and have a style show.
Great. So duct tape dresses.
And also Brillo pad has joined this as well. They're going to have Brillo pad floats as well as Brillo pad clothing, and just different sculptures with Brillo pad and duct tape.
I would rather wear the duct tape dress than a Brillo pad dress. I'm not sure though.
And again, the tape might be very sticky too.
Yeah, it's a little hot. 614-292-8513. And Mike in Columbus, what's your question about the fair?
Hi. Well, besides what sounds like fun at the Creative Arts Place, are there the roaming entertainment? I haven't seen any advertising for it, and my family really enjoys the roaming entertainment they have. Is there anything special this year, or what do we?
The roaming entertainment is people who just are walking around the fair, and you just randomly run into them, right?
I know the Mills family is a favorite of mine, my family's, and we like to see them. They're unicyclists.
Yeah, the Mills okay. family's going to be back this year, and we've got the Wacky Wheeler and Walking Tree Man, the Tree of Life on stilts, and we've got Abraham Lincoln, and we've also got a speed painter, Tim Decker, this year, who will take a fairgoer aside and paint a very quick portrait in less than 5 minutes.
Right, and these are things where they're not at a set time. You just happen to find them at the fair, right?
Right, exactly. They just keep the fair environment what we like to call fairtastic.
Of course. 614-292-8513. Call in and tell us your favorite thing about the Ohio State Fair or a favorite fair memory. And we're talking about some new things that are at the fair this year, which opens on Wednesday in just a few days. And we have about 5 minutes left, so get those calls in. 614-292-8513. Sue in German Village, what would you like to ask about?
I just wanted to give my accolades for the best thing at the State Fair, which was mutton busting, where children under 50 pounds bull ride sheep, and you are able to watch this for free. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
Are any kids allowed to come do it, or do you have to sign up in advance for that?
You sign up, and for mutton riding, you need to, there's some sort of nominal fee for the parents of the children, and they get all helmets and protective vests to hold on to the sheep the fur or whatever, and and bull ride down this this little stadium. But I mean, for it's free, and it was the most entertaining thing I've seen, and I really hope we bring it back to the State Fair, because I don't know how you beat mutton busting.
Now, Sue, did you have kids participate, or did you just watch?
I just watched, but it's compelling enough to make me want to breed.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And can, Alicia, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Right. She pretty much explained mutton busting very well. It was a huge hit, and we actually get calls about it all the time. We don't have it at the fair this year, but I will let the powers that be know that we're getting calls, and we'd like to have it back again.
She's correct. I did see that either last year or the year before. It is very fascinating to see, because these children are literally holding on to the sheep by the wool and just like they're bucking it. It's like really very, very interesting.
And we have Jeff from Columbus. Jeff, what's your question?
Yeah, I was wondering if Bobo the Clown will ever come back. I remember that being the main attraction there. That was always a lot of fun. And also the Tom Thumb Donuts. I remember those. Those are wonderful.
All right, so Bobo the Clown, do we know about?
You know, I believe he's actually passed away and is no longer with us. But from what I've heard, he was a huge hit at the fair, and everyone really loved him. Unfortunately, I'm not sure about the exact brand name of the donuts, but I do know there's quite a few at the fair, and if you're interested in trying that new donut burger, you might enjoy that.
There we go. And you were, Alicia, you are a former 4-H member. Can you tell us a little bit about the idea of how we keep the 4-H component and the agriculture component with the fair?
Right. We have a large number of youth organizations, including 4-H, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Campfire, FCCLA, Tech Ed. And all of these organizations come to the State Fair every year to kind of present what they've worked on throughout the year. And if they have any projects that are getting judged statewide for state awards, they get to present those there. And as I recall, I was able to come present one of my projects as a 4-H'er. And it was just such a wonderful time. And I knew then I absolutely loved the Ohio State Fair. And I'm happy to be back and working at the fair now.
And Elaine, we have just about one more minute. Tell me something that you hope people will come and see at the fair this year.
Well, of course, the chocolate pig is definitely something I want them to see. And I definitely also want them to come in to see all of our demonstrations on crafts and cooking. We will have daily culinary events with San Filippo as the sponsor for that. The kid crafts every day at 2 o'clock.
Every day at 2 o'clock. That's a great idea for bringing kids in, and you can get out of the heat because
exactly.
You can come to the air conditioned building.
And check out all the displays of all the different things that we have up.
Great. So where can we find out more information if we want to know exact times of events and how to find all of that out?
Everything's available on ohiostatefair.com. We have copies of our daily schedules you can download and print out, and you can also download the Ohio State Fair app in the iPhone and Android stores, which does have copies of the schedules, as well as a mobile food finder where you can search for your favorite fair foods.
Well, that sounds great. That'll make it easy to find that fried Kool-Aid. You've been listening to All Sides Weekend. Thank you to Elaine Moscato, the Creative Arts Director. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And also thanks to
Marketing and Public Relations Director, Alicia Notestone. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And we have a link to the Ohio State Fair website on our website, WOSU.org. Also, thanks to the All Sides intern, Leticia Wiggins, and thanks to our producer today, Sal Piscinari. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.